manifestations. Okay, well, let's turn to Romans chapter 9. We're going to see how far we get with this. This is continuing in the book of Romans. Romans chapters 9 through 11 make up the next section in the book of Romans. Very briefly, we've looked at believing unto believing, that gospel of God regarding Jesus Christ. Then, beginning in Romans 1:18 through 3, I don't remember now, 17 maybe, dealing with that wrath that's to come. The man without excuse. Quite an eye-opener in looking at that section. That what God has so graciously made available to all men. Then Romans 3, that righteousness of God that's come. This is a real brief summary here. But that righteousness of God that has come. Freely given without a cause. See, just, and it's believing on Jesus Christ. And then Romans 4, that section, dealing with Abraham. And we begin to see how God is so lovingly working with those of Israel. Because they hung everything on the law. They hung everything on the circumcision. That was their whole identification, their whole history, their whole life, everything. You are dogs. We have the law. We are the chosen of God. And that was true. They were. And so you begin to see how God is so lovingly and shows them how Abraham was made righteous by what? Believing. Before he was circumcised. Isn't that something? And that the promise was by believing. So he's leading them into this saying, look, the promise has always been by believing. Then you get into Romans 5 and just the legality of Jesus Christ and who he was and why he did what he did. Then Romans, and then newness of life is introduced. Then Romans 6 talks about that newness of life and the new identification. We now identify with Jesus Christ. See? We reckon ourselves dead. That old nature is dead. The flesh, it's dead. It's dead. See? Then Romans 7. Hold. My God, what are we going to do now? There's no law. There's going to be total chaos. This is crazy. That means we can do anything we want. No, it doesn't. No, the fact is, you couldn't do the law. You never could do the law. The law killed you. That's right. You're free from the law. So what do? I searched. I found a law. I found the law of God after the inward man. Which harkened back to the promise of the covenant, that second covenant. I will write my law where? In the inward parts. Then Romans 8, boom. No condemnation. No condemnation. As a matter of fact, the righteousness, that standard of justice of the law, can only be fulfilled by those who have spirit. And then it just builds. Nothing separates us from the love of God. So, these first eight chapters of Romans have really laid out that gospel of God regarding Jesus Christ and what's been given, what's been accomplished to all those that believe on him. Okay? Now, Romans 9 through 11, you could spend a lot of time with these chapters. We're not going to. But we're going to look at some things in these chapters that I think will help understand them better, or at least open them up some. They're kind of like a parenthesis because it steps back and it is addressed to Judean, those of Judean, well, Judean. And then it's addressed to Gentiles. I think it picks up in chapter 11 where it starts talking to Gentiles. Okay? And you really see God's heart in this section for his people. And where it lands is, and we'll see this, but where it lands is that God's heart, his desire is to show mercy upon all men. That's his heart. Whether Judean, whether Gentile, his heart is to show mercy. And he will absolutely fulfill his word. That comes up in this section too. So we're going to pick it up in chapter 9, verse 1. It says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Now that's a figure of speech. Okay, it's a figure of exaggeration. But it makes the point. His intense love for his brethren according to the flesh, Israel, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption or the sonship and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. That's a figure too. See, emphasizing all these things that were given to the chosen of God. Earlier in Romans it said, unto them were given the oracles of God. See, here it's, you know, and the sonship, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. Whose are the fathers? And it should read, from them was the Christ, according to the flesh. That's who you were. Really something. Verse 6. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. For they are... Now, we're going to get into something here. Because it's referring... we're going to deal with some of those of Israel who rejected God's righteousness. But that doesn't mean the word of God had no effect. It doesn't mean it's not true. It doesn't mean it didn't come to pass or it won't come to pass. Unto them were given the covenants, the promises, all these things. And we're going to see as we read here that some of them reject that which God was after here. Anyway. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are what? Israel. And that's also a figure. And what it means is, they are not all the Israel, the true Israel of God, who are of Israel by the flesh, who are descended from Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. See? It's really something. I want you to keep your finger here. And I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 4. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. Earlier in Romans we learned that it was by believing. The children of Abraham are by believing. There's a record here in Galatians 4. Beginning in verse 21. It says, tell me that ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Have you not considered? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after or according to the flesh. Now here flesh is put for the senses. One was born according to the census. Okay? I think most of you are familiar with that record. Hagar, Ishmael. It was his wife's idea. Here, take my handmaid. There's your son. That was by the census. But he of the free woman was by what?
Promise.
See, that was Isaac. Which things are an allegory. Now the word allegory, it's an extended comparison. And that's what you got to keep in mind as you read this record. It's an extended comparison. So we're comparing. For these are the two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai, that's the law given by Moses, which gendereth bondage, which is who? Agar, Hagar. Hagar represents the law of Moses given on Mount Sinai. There's your extended comparison. She was the bondwoman. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us. The word all shouldn't be there. For it is written, rejoice thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of what? Promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh, or according to the senses, persecuted him that was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but we are children of the what? We are not under the covenant of the Mosaic law, but under the Spirit. That's that extended comparison of what it's teaching. See? Now, go back to Romans chapter 9. Children of Isaac. Verse 8, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, of the senses, thinking, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, not only that promise, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, by our father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calls. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Now this is referring to Esau and Jacob. Okay? Israel descended from Jacob. The Edomites descended from Esau, which is what explains the next verse. But that it might be by election, or that it might be by grace, before they were even born, God chose Jacob, out of whom Israel came. That's what this verse is talking about. It was God's choosing. That it might be by grace, before any works were done, he chose Jacob. Kind of neat. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now this verse is not referring to the children in the womb. This is quoted from Malachi, long after the descendants of Jacob, Israel, and Esau, Edom, had opportunity to do many works. Okay? So it's referring to Israel. Israel have I loved. Now this would have communicated to them of Judean background. Do you see how God's working with these people? You know, to you and I, it's like, okay. But to the Judean, what God, the lengths he's going to show them, see, to show them his mercy, how he works, what he does, and how this all lands at Christ. It's really something. All right, verse 14. For he said to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but of God that shows mercy. And these things need to be understood in light of what's been revealed regarding the gospel of God. Unto whom has God desired to show mercy? Who are the vessels of mercy? Well, it's all those who have believed on Jesus Christ. Now, that's been revealed previously in the book of Romans. See, if you look at these verses outside of the context of what's come before, they become very difficult. God's going to show mercy to you and not to you. To you and not. No. That's not what this is saying. This is written to the Judean in an effort to get them to see the mercy that God has shown upon mankind. That all it takes is for a man to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and boom, he's got more than Adam ever had. He's got eternal life. He will reign and dwell with the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. Right. Boy, it's going to be tough to get through all these verses, so we're not going to. Let's go down to verse. Let's go to verse 22. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Now this refers back to Romans chapter 1. And it refers to those who turned God into images of man and four-footed beasts. Those who rejected God. Those who are without excuse. Who knowing the standard of righteousness, rejected God. And rejoice in others who do the same. Those are the vessels fitted for that wrath to come. That he might make known the riches of his glory, verse 23, on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Judean only, but also of who? Of the Gentiles. And as he said also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there they shall be called the children of the living God. And that day will come. We're going to read a little bit more about that in a minute. That day will come. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the word. The word. The word work is the word logos. It's word. He will complete his word. Isn't that something? And it should read, completing it quickly and finishing it quickly. He will complete his word. The Judean had many, many promises made to them regarding them being brought back into Israel, regarding them being called out of the nations, regarding the Messiah, regarding, and all those things will come to pass. And that's where he's leading them. He will complete his word. See? But Christ is that Messiah. Christ is that Redeemer. And right now, you have the opportunity to call upon his name. And we're going to read sections of Romans 10 that are almost quotes out of Old Testament records regarding Israel. It's really something. But it's regarding the Christ. It's just beautiful to see how God so is lovingly working with them. Let's go down to verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which pursued not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness. Even the righteousness which is of what? Believing. But Israel, which pursued after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they didn't seek it by believing. But as it were, by the works. Or by works, is how it should read. Of the law is not in most critical Greek texts. So it read, they pursued it by works. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be what? Ashamed. Disappointed in their expectations. This is going to come up again in just a minute. But this was written in the Old Testament regarding that stone who became chief of the corner. But unto them who wouldn't believe, he would be a rock of offense or a stumbling stone. See, he's bringing them back. This is him. This is him. This is that stone. This is what was prophesied of. This is him. Brethren, verse chapter 10, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be delivered. For I bear them record. They have a zeal of God, but not according to what? Knowledge. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own, have not, the word righteousness is correctly supplied there, although it wasn't in the text, but anyway. About to establish their own, have not submitted themselves under the what? The righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness, you kind of pick up what we're talking about here? That word righteousness is sure used a lot, isn't it? Yeah, that's what we're talking about, righteousness. But the righteousness, which is of believing, speaks on this wise. Don't say in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That's to bring Christ up from the dead. What says it? What says it? It's near you. It's right here. It's in your mouth. It's right here. Now keep your finger here. And let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. This is kind of neat. Deuteronomy 30.
Verse 11.
Now, this is regarding the law that was given by Moses to Israel. Watch this. For this commandment, which I command thee this day, it's not hidden from you. Neither is it far off. Sound familiar? It's not in heaven. That you should say, who's going to go up to heaven to get this, to get this information and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? It's not beyond the sea that you should say, well, who's going to go over and get it for us, over the sea, and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is what? In your mouth. Isn't that beautiful, what God's doing with these folks? See, they knew that scripture, that giving of the law, which was their whole identity. It was everything. Now it's been ripped out from them. That's right. They're dead to the law, so that they could be married to new Christ. See? And so God, just what he does with his word, it's so beautiful. But what says it? It's neither. It's right here. It's in your mouth. You don't have to send anybody up to heaven. You don't have to send anybody into the deep. Right here. In your mouth. And in thy heart. And it's the word of, not the commandment. That's what it was in Deuteronomy, the word of the commandment. Here it's the word of what? Believing. Which we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? For with the mouth, confession's made. With the heart, man what? Believes. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be disappointed in his or her expectations. Hearkening back to that cornerstone that's talked about in the Old Testament. See? For there's no difference between the Judean and the Greek, is put here for Gentiles. For the same Lord is rich over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's right out of Joel chapter 2. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? That's it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That's right out of Isaiah 52. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who's believed our report? That opens up the section talking about the Christ, the Redeemer, and what he would go through and accomplish. In Isaiah. But I say, haven't they heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them which are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and said, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not for me. But to Israel, he said, all day long I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Really something. In these sections, God is lovingly working with those of a Judean background who had some difficulty with the Gentiles being saved, not by works. And God is taking them and working with them through Scripture, through their background, through their understanding, to get them to see that this is what God had planned all along. This is what it was about. That it might be by believing. See, it never was by works. It was never going to come by works. It was going to be by promise. It was going to be by believing. It was going to be by that promised seed, which is the Christ. See, it's really awesome. And so you begin to understand some of these scriptures. Now, Romans 11, we don't really have time to go through it. Romans 11 deals with the Judean and really continues to talk about God's love for them. But those that have stumbled at the Christ, to their detriment, and really to Paul's hurt and to God's hurt. Toward the end of 11, it switches to the Gentiles. It says, look, don't get haughty here. They were God's chosen. You got in. But they were the natural branches. You were grafted in. See, it all comes down to God's goodness and God's mercy. Okay? There is one section I want to deal with, though, here in Romans chapter 11. And I did want to show you this because this was a question that came up. Verse 22, behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity. But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. Now, you've got to understand this scripture in light of what's come before it. It's not talking about lineage. It's not talking about who you are. It's talking about believing. You understand? Believing. See, if you continue in that goodness of God by believing, see, you will taste the goodness of God. But if you reject that righteousness of God, which is by believing, it ain't so pretty. You understand? But it's not by lineage. Okay? And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. Those of Israel. Those of Israel. Anybody who believes in Israel, boom, they're going to see the goodness of God. They're going to taste the goodness of God. They're going to become part of this one body. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to the nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? You got to understand, there's a level of contention that really shows up in the book of Galatians. Shows up in the book of Galatians. Where the Judeans were endeavoring to put the Gentiles under law. And the Gentiles endured sort of a condescending attitude by some of those of Israel. And these sections are dealing with this. It's not who you are. It's not where you come from. It is by believing, and it's God's mercy. And it was all accomplished by the Christ. And that's the point here. Here, speaking to the Gentile. Because where we're going to land here is, well, I don't want to jump the gun. Anyway, then it says, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Now, this is concerning a time in the future when the fullness of the time of the Gentiles comes in. That fullness of the time of the Gentiles is a day of, or a part of, that day of wrath and that day of judgment. And when that fullness of the Gentiles comes, it is then that the Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the way, we'll be with him, will return to the earth and will gather Israel out from all the nations. And all of Israel will be delivered. Isn't that something? But that's concerning a future time. And he's bringing this up in speaking to the Gentiles. So watch this. As concerning the gospel, verse 28, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for what? For the Father's sake. See? They're beloved by God. Verse 30, for as ye in times past have not believed God, you Gentiles were crazy. Yet have you now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed that through your mercy they also may obtain what? Mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon who? Upon all. Oh, the depths and the riches of God. See how he figured this out. Not one people above another. But it's all in Christ. And it's all in believing. See, to undo all that Adam did and make that available to all men. It's really something. We're all in this together. We're all in this together. The Judeans and Gentiles were in it together. They were both in unbelief, right? Really something. And it would be by believing that they could be delivered because of God's mercy. And those of us who are not in these categories, because we're not in the Judean category, nor are we in the Gentile category. We belong to what? The Church of God, the one body. We're all in this together. One God, one Father, right? One body, one Spirit. Oh, the depths and wisdom of God. See, it's really something. When you know the end of this section, and you go back to some of those verses, you know, we just don't have time. But some of those verses were the verses that talk about, who are you to say to God? Does the clay tell the one who made it what to do? Does the maker of the pot seek wisdom from the pot? Right? Well, those are quotes out of the Old Testament. Look at the context of them sometime. Pretty cool. You know, one of them is in a context of where Israel had rejected God. They'd rejected him. You know? They come to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You tell me what to do? You think I should seek wisdom from you? I'm God. Here's a reminder. See? It's really something. And when you see that in those sections, how God, I know I'm going on about it, but it just so blessed me to see how lovingly he's working with them. See? In bringing them to the Christ. To give them every opportunity to just go, duh, all right, I believe. See? So they could be saved. Really something. So, that's sort of a little summary of that section. And then we pick it up in 12, which kind of picks up where 8 left off. So, Father, thanks for your word and just how awesome your love is and how you so lovingly work with people to bring them, Father, to a knowledge of the truth. Thanks for the great opportunity that we have to speak your word and to walk by your spirit and to love people, Father, and to make known the great grace that you've made available and shown us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.